Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. This is Debbie Verney.
Good morning. This is J. Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning, and other legal issues. If you want to give us a call, you could be our first caller at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or toll free at 1-800-WROW-590. That's 1-800-WROW-590. Good morning, J. Marie.
Good morning.
It's a sunny kind of Saturday, right? Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So,
Ben is wearing his lovely pink headphones.
I am.
Is he? Right.
Yes, I am.
He's on the other side. I can't really see him.
I just figure it this way. If I put him on the other side, then either Dave or JT has to wear him. That's just not happening. So I'll just wear him.
But Ben is man enough to wear them.
That's right.
They're not secure in their manhood.
That's right.
We just finished our client seminars this week.
That's right.
It was great. We had a lot of our clients that came out. Some of them brought friends with them. Mm-hmm. And we had the Alzheimer's Association presented all three of our client seminars, and that was kind of eye-opening.
Yes, it was. They presented on the 10 early warning signs of Alzheimer's, and they did a great job of explaining that and what you need to do if you think one of your loved ones has one of those signs.
Yeah, it was interesting whenever they were talking about, do you ever lose your keys? Yes. But then it's like, can you retrace your steps to find them? Yes.
Right.
So it's like, they're like, before you diagnose yourself, make sure you know. So, but it was a great, great, great time. It was great to see our clients. And we actually are not doing any, well, I was going to say we aren't doing any seminars in July, but we actually are. We're doing one in Kingston on July 30th at 2 in the afternoon. And that's on aging in place. And we talked a lot about that at our client seminars. And so we've got one in July at 2 in the afternoon. It's at the Best Western Plus. That's 503 Washington Avenue in Kingston. And we're going to be talking about aging in place.
Right. We kind of just talked a little bit about aging in place, just kind of teased it, right?
Uh-huh. Just a little bit of a teaser.
Right. And we're going to go into it in more detail because it is a topic that can take up a full hour and a half.
Yeah, that's kind of like we just did a short little snippet on it because it's one of those things where you don't know what you don't know, right?
That's right. And people hear about it, they're like, oh, it's too good to be true. And we're like, no, it's not too good to be true.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. So you got to come to the big seminar, learn about it.
And looks like we have a caller. We have Mark in Clifton Park. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. A couple of questions for you. It's regarding my mom's estate. My mom recently passed away in the state of Florida a couple of months ago. I was her executor of her affairs. From what I understand, I guess there's an executive fee for performing those duties. Is that true?
Yes, there is an executor's fee. Now, you say she passed away in Florida. Are you doing the probate of the estate in Florida?
No, nobody contested anything. Everybody got what they wanted, so nobody contested it, though.
But I guess her question was there weren't any assets that had to be probated. Nothing had to go to court.
No.
Yeah,
we honored my mom's wishes in her will, and everything was delved out accordingly based on my mom's request. So everything was finalized. Just that I guess when I read the will, it alluded to an executive fee for performing her duties while she was alive, acting on her behalf as a power of attorney. So who would determine how much I would get as far as overseeing her affairs? Would it be the state of Florida? Is there a percentage?
That's kind of where I was going. It depends on where the will would be probated. Each state has a statute on commissions. New York has a statute. Florida has a statute probably about what's a reasonable commission to take. And it's usually a percentage of the total assets of the estate.
Gotcha. I kind of assumed that. But I knew with the state of Florida, they had different protocols.
Yeah,
different rules.
It may be a different percentage than New York, so you would need to contact someone in Florida.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome. Good. Thanks.
Have a great weekend.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, Florida's a little bit different, especially with commissions and stuff, because in New York, for instance, with real property, mm-hmm. there's basically, there's a rolling amount of commissions, whereas I think in other states there's not. So
right, it could just be a flat percentage, right?
It could be, yeah. So you could be our next caller at 518-476-5900 or toll-free at 1-800-WROW-590. I had an interesting consult this week. Dad's in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. He's been in there for a while. They just got him on Medicaid as of last fall. Mm-hmm. And now mom needs to go into the nursing home. Mm-hmm. And the children just thought that, you know, mom got to keep all those assets when dad went in, that they just got to keep them, mm-hmm. right? So they were thinking, because there's a house and there's a rental house. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, you're going to have to liquidate the assets because if they're both in the nursing home, there's no, you know, community spouse mm-hmm. resource. And they're like, but no, we want to keep the rental house. And it's mm-hmm. like, no.
That's wait. Right.
You know, it's like, well, what mm-hmm. if we transfer it? No.
It's too late to do that, right? If they transferred it now, there's a 5-year, you know, look back, so they can't do that.
They're, right. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, my dad should have planned 5 years ago. And I'm like, yeah, mm-hmm. he should have.
That's right. Not but everyone wants
a lot of people
to do
think
that, right?
That they can either transfer things or they can keep things, and then the mm-hmm. person's going to qualify for Medicaid, and it's not going to happen.
Right, right. And you can't do it last minute, right? So you have to do it five years before you need a nursing home.
Right. And I said, well, what about community Medicaid? I mean, if you can keep her home, mm-hmm. then that might be a different story. And he said, no. He said, there's no way she can stay home now.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's sad. I had a similar experience. This couple, the husband's going in the nursing home and the wife's going in assisted living. So they're looking for ones where they can be near each other. So they went to one of the places, I won't name it, and they said, yeah, we'd be happy to take you, and you know, we'll be happy, you just keep spending down, and guess what, after you spend down, you know, we'll keep you here free of charge, you don't have to worry about it.
Nice.
So that's so misleading. You know, first of all, they don't have to spend down all of their assets, but second of all, they're not just keeping them there out of the goodness of their heart, right?
No.
They're putting them on Medicaid, and they're going to get paid by Medicaid.
Right, and they're going to take all their income.
That's right. So, so misleading, and they were so happy to hear that there was something they could do, you know. We're going to do a spousal refusal at first, and mm-hmm. then, you know, if they both need a nursing home, we could do a rule of halves. These are ideas that we talk about a lot. And so there are things that you could do to save money at that last minute, because they had not done anything in advance.
Yeah, I had a gentleman in the other day that he and his wife both have long-term care insurance. Mm-hmm. And she is in assisted living. Mm-hmm. And she's paying like almost $8,000 a month for assisted living. We have a caller. We have David in Delmar.
Good morning. I have been named executor of my mother's estate. And are you familiar with the, within 6 months of my appointment, I'm required to furnish to the court inventory of all the decedent's assets?
Yes, that's correct.
Is that all assets that are not in probate, or all assets in total?
That is only for the probate assets, okay?
Well, that makes a big difference then, okay.
Yeah, it does, right. So you don't have to report the other assets. There's some questions on that form. They will ask you if there were other assets outside of probate, but they don't ask you for the value of that anymore. They used to.
They used to, yeah.
Yeah, they used to.
Okay, that's a big relief, and that I really, really appreciate that information. Thank you.
Okay,
no problem. Yeah, they used to. Whenever we used to have to file the inventory with the court, you had to list everything that they ever had.
Yeah, that's right. So they changed the form. They made it much simpler now.
Yeah, it's a lot easier. Mm-hmm. A lot easier. But, you know, what can you do? It's one of those things where if you make all of your assets joint, or you have beneficiaries, or if they're in a trust, you don't even have to go through probate.
That's right.
So then you don't have to worry about an inventory. You don't have to worry about anything. So it's definitely a good thing to try to do that.
Yes, that's right. Avoiding probate is always a good thing to do.
So whenever I met with this gentleman, his wife's been in, she's been in assisted living for almost a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And he was concerned because he said, you know, she's basically in okay health. She could end up going through her entire long-term care policy. Mm-hmm. And he said, so what do I do then? Because he has a lot of assets. And I said, well, you know, I did the math and figured mm-hmm. out, you know, because they're not paying the whole shot. So mm-hmm. he didn't have exactly how much they pay a day or whatever. And I said, well, it looks like the most you've got here is about 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, your best bet is to go ahead and set up an irrevocable trust now.
That's right.
Put the assets in it. And then if she ends up running out of money in assisted living, at least these assets are protected. They wouldn't have to go to pay for her care.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's like, well, isn't that what long-term care insurance is for? And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, but there's only a certain pot usually in most of these policies. And once all that money's gone, whether you use it for assisted living or if you use it for nursing home care, it's gone. It's gone.
Right. Those policies are, yeah, right. Usually only for a couple of years. Only one time have I seen a lifetime policy.
I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
Which is pretty rare, you know. But most people have ones that do run out.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not just done if you just do long-term care insurance. Sometimes to complete the plan, you can combine that with a trust and Medicaid planning.
Definitely.
So to do both, it's a really good idea.
So if you'd like to be our next caller, there's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll-free, 1-800-WROW-590. It's interesting that both callers we've had have been about wills and probate. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. That must be what's on their mind. And, you know, some people try and do it themselves, which is fine. But then you may get tripped up, like, you know, you have to do the inventory, you have to do the final report. So there are a lot of different things that you need to know about. And, you know, which is why it's often good to have an attorney do that for you.
Well, it makes sense because mm-hmm. then you know it's going to be done right. They do... We have to do a probate petition. Let's just say you have a will. We have to do a probate petition. And then we have to get waivers from all the heirs at law. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then we have to do a family tree affidavit. So it's not like you can just go down to the surrogate's court and go, okay, here's the will. Mm-hmm. Make me executor.
Yeah, that's right. You have to go through a lot. And if you have family members who may not agree, right? Want to contest the will, then you definitely need to get a lawyer involved to help you through that. And seems like this week I had a lot of clients who were cutting people out, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're very concerned about whether that child, you know, can contest it in the future. So the way they could contest it is they have to say you're not competent when you sign the will. And in each of these cases, I said, I'm sitting here with you right now, you know, you're competent. And if we're going to sign an affidavit, me and the other witness that says you're competent, so the will's going to stand up. You know, it doesn't mean they can't try and contest it.
Right.
Right. But if you are of sound mind when you sign it, you shouldn't have to worry about, you know, leaving someone out and them contesting it later.
Well, and then people ask me, well, how do you know I'm of sound mind? And I'm like, good question.
That's true. Well, you could be fooling me, you know, if you're carrying on a conversation, but yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And sometimes you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a will that I was a witness to when I was actually in law school. There was an mm-hmm. attorney that lived across the street, and she asked me if I would come over and witness the will. It was a friend of hers. And so I went over, and her husband and I were each the witnesses to the will. Of course, I didn't know all this stuff then, right? I was
that's
in
right.
law school.
You were just in law school. Right.
So, and they had appointed her as executor. Of course, mm-hmm. she didn't do an affidavit. So right. if you appoint someone as executor that's an attorney, they have to do an affidavit that says that you realize that I will get attorney fees and I get executor fees, right? It's called a Putnam affidavit. Right. Well, she didn't have her sign that. Mm-hmm. But we witnessed the will, and lo and behold, the woman committed suicide 2 weeks later.
Mm-hmm.
And she had cut all of her kids out and left everything to charity.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Wow.
So the kids were like, you know, obviously she wasn't of sound mind if she committed suicide
That's
2
right.
weeks later. And, I mean, she seemed fine to me. I mean, I think she just was sad, you
That's
know,
right.
and it's
That's
just
right.
one of those things. And the will held up, mm-hmm. but because the because there was no Putnam affidavit, they cut mm-hmm. the attorney's commissions in half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, sometimes if I know that there may be a contest and the person is elderly, you know, we may get a letter from the doctor,
mm-hmm.
you know, before they sign the will to say that they're competent. If you think there's some question there, you know, if they have a diagnosis maybe of, you know, dementia, but early on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's important. Just because you have dementia or maybe early Alzheimer's, you still may be able to sign a will. It's only as that disease advances that you wouldn't be able to sign the will. So in that case, especially, you'd probably want a letter from the doctor.
Right. And a power of attorney can set up a trust for your mm-hmm. benefit, but they cannot do a will for you.
No, they can't.
They definitely can't do a will for you. So that's one of those things you really need to think about. It's great to have documents in place. We tell our clients to come in about every 5 years to look at their documents to make sure that they still say what they want them to say. Mm-hmm. I had several clients at the client seminars that came up to me and said, it's been a while since we've been in. We need mm-hmm. to change this one or that one, or that one passed away, or mm-hmm. this or that. And I'm like, great.
Right.
You know, give Stacy a call. Come on in. We'll look at your stuff and see what we need to do.
I had a client who came in because one of her agents on her power of attorney, you know, really wasn't able to handle it anymore. And it came up because the client was going in for surgery. So she came in, she's like, I have to get this changed before I go into surgery. You know, luckily she had thought about that ahead of time. So it is good to kind of pull it out every so often and think about who you appointed.
True. And sometimes people move away too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people that have really, really old healthcare proxies or powers of attorney mm-hmm. appointed a child that lived locally for that reason specifically, and now that child doesn't live locally, and maybe the other one does, and maybe they want to flip-flop them
right,
and have someone close. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you can't have a power of attorney or an executor or a trustee that doesn't live local.
Yes.
It's just that, you know, you've got to think about backups.
That's a question we often get. You know, this child lives out of the state. Can you think they can still do it? And, you know, absolutely, because a lot of the banking you can do remotely, you can do online. So if that's the person you trust to do it, you shouldn't not appoint them because they're out of state.
That's true, because a lot of people's kids don't live in state.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a lot of clients that are now moving near their children mm-hmm. so that they can see their grandchildren.
Yes, that's right.
Which I think is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But we'd love to chat on and on, but we'd love to hear from you if you want to call us at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900. Or toll free is 1-800-WROW-590. That's 1-800-WROW-590. And kind of back to the aging in place seminars. Again, we don't have any seminars in July except for the one July 30th on Tuesday, July 30th at 2 in the afternoon at the Best Western Plus, Washington Ave in Kingston. And then the other aging in place seminars locally around here, meaning the Albany area, Tuesday, August 13th at 2 in the afternoon at the Hampton Inn in Clifton Park. Wednesday, August 14th at 10 a.m. at the Courtyard by Marriott on Washington Ave in Albany. Wednesday, August 14th at 6:30 in the evening. Ooh, that's nice. It's a twofer. Mm-hmm. You could go to the one in the morning and then go.
That's right.
Go to the one in the night.
So maybe you then get all your questions answered in the morning.
Exactly.
You can come back again. Right.
And then Thursday, August 15th at 2 in the afternoon at the Holiday Inn Express in East Greenbush. And those are all on our website. And you can call the office or you can email the office and get your name on the list for those. I think we have a lot of people that are already signed up for that. So that's cool.
That's great. Yeah. Getting care at home, it's a great option, but it's a pretty involved process. And it's not as easy as it seems. So it takes a while to explain it. There's lots of different steps you have to do along the way. And sometimes if you're just learning about it, you don't understand all those steps the first time you hear it.
It's a lot. It really is a lot. It's a lot to take in at one time. And, you know, it's still, even for me sometimes with Kim, Kim is amazing. She'll be like, well, we can do this, we can do that, we can do this, we can do that. And I'll be like, okay, note to self, we can do that.
Right, right. Or I'll tell clients, you know, there's many steps, but we're just going to focus on step one today. Right?
Exactly.
Right. That's because it's too hard sometimes to do all of that.
Right. And that's why we have Kim on the back end to help. I mean, we have paralegals mm-hmm. that work with us to get all the finances together and make sure everything. But as far as the care goes, that's why we have Kim Hans, who's our mm-hmm. geriatric care manager, to help us figure out what's best for the client as far as having care come in the house.
That's right. So that may be like step three or four down the road.
Exactly.
So Kim comes in, and sometimes we may have three or four meetings to kind of just deal with each piece of it as we go along.
Yeah, because it's difficult. And a lot of times the person that's the caregiver is so overwrought because mm-hmm. they've been doing everything for so long. It's hard for them to get everything together so that we can kind of move forward. I know that I have a client right now from up north that Kim and one of the care managers are up there are trying to help him get all mm-hmm. of the paperwork together because he's basically trying to take care of his wife 24/7 and do this at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do. And the other thing to remember for home care is, you know, it's not just for the elderly, it's for the younger disabled people as well, which may not go without saying, but I'll say it. I have a client who has a traumatic brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so he has problems managing his finances, getting all this information together. So with this program, he could get someone to really come in and help him with that. So we're getting him on Medicaid. And I had another client this week who's younger, but she has MS.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting to the point where it's kind of not so safe for her to be alone. She's mm-hmm. falling a lot. So the Medicaid program is going to help her and get someone in to help her around. So just want to point that out. It's not just for the elderly.
No, I have a friend she has Alzheimer's, but she is getting so many hours a week. And the thing is, she's diabetic, too. So her problem was that not only she would forget. She would forget to take her insulin. She would forget to eat. She doesn't need as many hours as anyone else does, but still she's got this person there, you know, hello, did you eat today?
Right.
Did you take your medication? And then she's getting a little bit worse now, where sometimes whenever she drives, she can't remember.
Mm-hmm.
So now this person is helping her get groceries
and
helping her more of, you know, nothing huge, but just basically being there for her.
Yeah, and that's really important. And then, you know, like maybe just 10 hours a week of that is going to be enough in the beginning.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as it progresses, they reevaluate the person every 6 months. So where it works now may not work 6 months from now. You may be able to get more hours because you're going to need more hours. You're going to need more care.
Yeah, it is that flexible.
Mm-hmm. It is. So give us a call at 518-476-5900 or toll free 1-800-WROW-590. So big plans for the 4th of July?
No, not particularly. It's kind of weird because it's in the middle of the week.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
There will definitely be fireworks, but other than that.
In Massachusetts, where they have them at?
At Tanglewood.
Oh, at Tanglewood.
Yeah, Tanglewood. But you don't have to go to Tanglewood to see them. So there's viewing spots around that the locals know about. So
that you're not sharing, because just in case.
My secret spots.
It's your secret spots.
Yeah.
Well, they've always got the fireworks downtown in Saratoga on the 4th.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. And then over on the lake where I am, they're having fireworks on the 6th.
Right. Yeah.
So that's nice.
That's nice.
They're always fun to see them shot off over the lake.
So. Yeah, that's really pretty. Mm-hmm.
So, again, give us a call, 518-476-5900, 518-476-5900, or 1-800-WROW-590 if you're out of the local area.
That's right. No more, what was that, pound 590?
Pound 590, it doesn't work with
that. That doesn't work anymore.
Because they added the different area code around here, I guess.
Right, where you have to dial 518, right.
That's funny because I thought that was going to be so hard.
I did too, but now it's second nature, right?
It's like you start giving, what's your phone number? And you start with the 518.
Yeah,
before,
that's right.
You just wouldn't say the area code, or when I dial numbers now, I just, whether it's 518 or not, I put 518 in front of it, and I'm like, oops, wrong.
That's right. It's good to know we can still learn things as we age, right?
That's it, definitely. Because we're aging in place, right?
Right.
We have Nellie from Albany.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am calling a couple things. My dad is 86, and he's going through a divorce with his wife, who's 87. And it's a very lopsided thing. And my dad has a lot of assets that he inherited from his parents out of the country. And now the negotiations are going on for the assets, and it looks like we're going to have to continue to pay some support to her. But I'm also concerned about the assets flowing to my brother and I. Some people say that the trust should be established at my dad's level, and then it would protect assets coming to us, because I think that should have been done earlier. But I'm just kind of concerned with the divorce, once the divorce goes through, and there has to be payments to her, the spouse. Monies have to be in a trust to guarantee if my dad predeceased?
It depends on what they negotiate. Generally, inherited assets aren't part of a divorce. So that's...
You can't prove it.
Oh.
Because it all came as cash from a foreign country.
Oh. Okay, so that being said, your dad could set up a trust and put assets in it so it makes sure that it goes to your kids. Generally, whenever a person passes away, like, so say he was supposed to pay your mother for 10 years or something like that, and she passes away, generally that money just goes away. I mean, it's not like you would have to pay it after they pass away, but usually there's not a trust or anything set up. It's usually, you know, you're going to pay this person so much a month for so many years, and that's what you do. And if they die or you die, it's over. So it just depends on what the attorneys negotiate. They both have attorneys, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, after everything, after the dust settles, Dad should probably set up a trust and put provisions in there so if something happened to him, his assets were protected should he have to go into a nursing home, or if anything else happened, so the assets would go to you guys. But if they're in the middle of a divorce right now, he really can't do anything, because usually whenever you sign the paperwork, you can't change any beneficiaries and you can't change your estate planning documents until the proceeding is over.
Okay. I have one other question. If I have on my estate my two children as executors, and they my daughter lives abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Does that matter?
No, I've got several clients that have their their children that live abroad that are their fiduciaries.
Now, when I inherit a lot of money from my dad, I should set that up in a trust right away. That's what I've seen with my
right, whenever you inherit.
With my dad, because we couldn't track it being separate, the monies, because he would take cash coming over, even though there was really significant separate money and monies before he got married to the second wife.
Yeah.
And they just don't believe that, unless I had every statement going back prior to 1985, I couldn't prove that it was separate.
Yeah, that's really difficult. But yeah, separate. What you could also do is if your dad sets up a trust, you could set up a trust and have the money from him whenever he passes away go directly from his trust to your trust, so there's never any question.
Oh, so that's the best way to do it.
That's
from one
the best
trust
way
to
I would
another.
Do. Mm-hmm. That would be definitely how I would do it.
Okay, that's definitely what I knew, because I know I have to do that. From what I saw with his stuff, I've been working 2.5 years on this,
sorting
it, and I really documented a lot.
Well, we'd be happy to meet with you and your dad and go over things and figure out what we could do to preserve his assets and your assets moving forward.
We are. My brother is a client at your firm.
Great.
And he said to listen to the show. That's why I was calling in. And we've already been discussing that during this time, but we're getting to the final negotiation, so.
Okay, well, good luck.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, and Flatbush Road in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, Harry, or Debbie, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office at 518-581-8131. Or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help you navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. This is Debbie Verney.
And this is Jane Marie Schaefer.
And we're two of the attorneys from the Herzog Law Firm. We're going to be here for the next about half an hour to answer your questions on estate planning, estate administration, Medicaid planning. And you could be our first caller this half hour at 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW if you're out of the Albany area.
WROW 590. That's right.
People are like dialing their way. Wait, where's the last three numbers? So 1-800-WROW 590. We'd like for need to give us a call. Interesting questions.
Yeah, very interesting questions in the first half hour. Yeah.
And it's funny because we were talking during the break about it, and people do get divorced in later in life. And a lot of times...
They do. It's a second marriage or a third marriage. And, mm-hmm. I mean, well, I guess you could even have a first marriage, but after... That's not as common.
It's not as common, but right. But it does sometimes happen, though, in nursing home situations. Whenever you have one spouse that has to go into the nursing home, I had the situation where the husband had to go into the nursing home. The wife was still working, and she mm-hmm. was in the late 70s, and she was making a nice chunk of change. And she's like, I'm not going to give 25% of my income to the nursing home.
That's right.
You know, because that people don't think about that. It's not only assets, it's income, too. So she said, there's just no way. So we set up we didn't do it. I mm-hmm. referred her to another person that does divorces, but they got a divorce so yeah. that she wouldn't have to income. Contribute her income yeah. to his care at the nursing home. Mm-hmm. So it does happen.
It does. And a lot of times it is a second or third marriage, and they come in and they're like, well, these are my assets and these are his assets. So... They're not going to look at his assets if we go into a nursing home because they're all separate.
Or I have a prenup.
That's right.
I had I had a lady and her son come in. This is years ago. And they're sitting there. And she said, well, my husband may end up going into a nursing home and I need to do these plans. And so I'm looking at her and I'm looking at the son. And the son is just like waiting just to say something. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, okay, so, you know, where's your husband now? Well, he lives in his house. And where do you live? Well, I live in my house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but you're married, right? Yes. Well, sometimes we have dinner at his house. Sometimes we have dinner at my house. Sometimes he stays over at my house. Sometimes I stay over at his house. And it was just, and I just kept looking at her and I kept looking at the son. And the son is just like, he can't wait to say something. And I mm-hmm. went, okay, so you've been married for how long? They've been married like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and it sounds like you're leading completely separate lives. She's like, mm-hmm. And I said, and she goes, but we've kept our money separate. I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Right. If you're married, it doesn't matter.
And I said, if you don't mind me asking, I'm like, why did you get married? And the son looks at her and goes, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Tell her. Tell her why you got married. Mm-hmm. And she goes, well, I always wanted to go on a cruise. And so he asked me if I would go on a cruise with him. And I said, the only way I would ever go on a cruise with you if I was married.
Oh, my goodness.
And so the son looks at her and goes, pretty expensive cruise, huh, Ma?
That's right.
So, you know, people don't think about these things.
No, they don't. That's right. And they think, honestly, that, oh, it's our second marriage, so it's his money. It doesn't count. Well, it counts in Medicaid, right? In Medicaid, they only care if you're legally married. They count your combined assets.
Right, even if you have a prenup.
Even if you have a prenup, because that prenup only matters, right, if you get divorced. Right?
Well, because the thing is that the Department of Social Services wasn't a party to the prenup, which is basically a contract.
Yeah, that's right.
So they don't have to uphold it.
No.
And they won't.
They won't. They're like, we want our money.
That's right. Whether it's his money or your money, we want our money.
That's right.
So, you know, these are all things that we kind of go over whenever we meet with somebody when we're looking at nursing home for someone or just estate planning.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You know, there's other you know, maybe you are getting married for different reasons. You're not thinking about this, right? Down the road, it's going to be Medicaid. But if you do that, you have to think about that, and there may be things we can do to help you.
Yeah. Exactly. And we have Barbara from Saratoga County. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. I have, obviously, I have a question. I did a trust with you, and I was just listening this morning, and... I'm wondering about what was stated about the person that you appoint as your executor, that when you pass, they have to have some kind of a form?
Only if they have to probate your will. So if you have a trust and you have everything else joint or you have beneficiaries, then your will never has to be probated. A will only controls assets you have individually in your name. So if you had some stock or something that you never transferred to the trust or you didn't put beneficiaries on, then the executor would have to be appointed by the courts before they could dispose of that stock.
Yeah, so if you had an asset, such as you just mentioned, your power of attorney is done.
Right.
And so if you somehow miss a certain asset or something, then you have to, they will have to go to probate, right?
Yes, that's right. So probate is for anything that you didn't put into the trust, you know, either intentionally or you did forget to put something in. You do have to probate it, and the will take care of that. The good news is if it's under $30,000, you can do a small estate proceeding, and that's a little bit easier than a full probate proceeding.
Less expensive.
And less expensive, right.
You mean this is after the fact?
After the fact, right. I mean, oftentimes clients do put things into the trust, but they may have one bank account that they didn't, you know, their checking account that they're paying their bills with. And so if that checking account has less than $30,000, then, you know, your children only have to do a small estate proceeding to have access to that checking account.
Okay. What is your name, slowly?
Jane Marie. I have two first names, which is confusing. And my last name is Schaefer.
You're going, you're hard to hear for me. Oh. So it's Jane
Marie.
And the last name?
Schaefer.
Schaefer, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you get everything titled correctly and either has a beneficiary or its joiners in the trust, then they won't have to probate your will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You stated that in August you have another event.
Yeah, we have aging in place seminars. They're seminars that are going to be open to the public.
Uh-huh.
And they're about basically getting long-term care at home as opposed to having to go to a nursing home. And we're going to cover other things, too, but that's the major thing that we're going to
uh-huh.
talk about.
Yeah, I've been to them before.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, I missed your event.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. do you have, is there a way to get information about not moving necessarily, but do you have a list of anyone that gets rid of stuff?
If you call the office, there are some people that we can refer you to who help, we'll call it downsizing, right? Kind of help you go through your stuff if you're moving or maybe you just do want to get rid of some stuff. And if you call the office on Monday, we can get that person and that number for you.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thanks.
So the phone number at the office, if you want to give us a call on Monday, is 518-465-7581. And you can ask the receptionist to put you through to one of the attorneys, and we can get you that information. Jane Marie and I both have the information. Again, the phone number at the office is 518-465-7581, and you can ask the receptionist. Just tell them you called in on the radio on Saturday, right. And we can get you that list of names.
Mm-hmm.
I don't give them Stacy's extension because
she's
on vacation
next week. That's
yes.
right. We're so used to saying call the office and ask for Stacy. So
I know. So this weekend, we're not saying that. So
that's
and
right.
then she actually said that she's out this week, and then she may have jury duty the week of the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the odds, right?
What are the odds? That's right.
So if you'd like to be our next caller here at the station, it's 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or toll-free 1-800-WROW-590. So what asset do you find the most that people forget about?
Oh, stocks that they got from insurance companies.
Like MetLife.
MetLife, right.
Yep, definitely. Those are ones where people, if you're getting a little dividend check, right, $5, $6, sometimes $30,
mm-hmm.
it's not a refund on your life insurance policy. You have stock, okay?
Right.
And if you still have that stock when you pass away and it doesn't have a beneficiary, it's going to throw you into probate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just MetLife. There's also, it's basically all the life insurance companies demutualized several years ago. There was stock issued. A lot of people don't realize that they have it.
Yeah, they don't know they have it. They think it's part of just their life insurance policy. But some will know enough to say, oh, MetLife, we're going to look for stock. But sometimes that's too late. That's after the fact when we're meeting with your beneficiaries to probate the will. So if you do have a life insurance policy, you should check to see if you own the stock, because that should go into your trust also.
Yeah, and if you file tax returns, right? If you file tax returns every year, if you're reporting dividends on your tax return, you probably have stock.
That's right.
You know, so it's not a return on your life insurance policy. You probably have stock. And again, that's 9 out of 10 times. That's what we have to end up doing, either a small estate administration or a full probate, depending on how many shares you have, in order to collect that stock.
It's also come up in Medicaid applications where we thought we were getting you down to the $15,000, and then you find out that they have stock.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that stock, usually it's about $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 maybe. But sometimes it's almost up to $10,000, and that really can put you over the limit. You'd have to spend that down for Medicaid.
Yeah, it depends on how many shares you have. It depends on what it's selling for at that point in time.
Right.
So a lot of people don't know they have it.
No, they don't.
Another thing that I've seen here lately that have been an issue is not changing the beneficiary on your life insurance when the person passes away.
Yes.
So if you pass away and you've got your mother... which I've seen, you know, because people bought these policies years and years ago. They weren't married, so they made their parents the beneficiaries. They pass away. They didn't change the beneficiary. Mom and dad are long gone, right? So it ends up coming back into their estate.
Right, because if you have no beneficiary named, that's where it's going to go.
Right, so you need to, I always tell my clients, who's your beneficiary? And if it's a married couple, they'll be like, oh, my husband or my wife. And I'll be like, and who's your contingent? My what?
Right. If you don't know what that is, you probably didn't do that, right?
So you need to have backup beneficiaries. So if you don't have kids, you could name a charity, you could name a friend, family, whomever you want to, but you really should have a backup, because if something happens to you, both at the same time or simultaneously, you know, one and then the other, then you've got to look at, you know, where is this money going to go? And it'd be great if you had someone else.
Right, because if that's all we have to probate for, that and it can be pretty expensive, and then we have to find all your relatives to get consent from them.
Yeah,
so if you're not married, we're looking for, you know, aunts, uncles, cousins, you know.
Nieces, nephews.
That's right. It could go out pretty far.
Yeah, so definitely planning ahead, and that's why we offer a free consult. So if you want to call and make an appointment, you can come in and meet with Jane Marie or I or Dave or Harry, and we'll sit down with you and go through everything and say, you know, who is your beneficiaries? Do you have a will? Do you have a trust? Do you have a healthcare proxy? Do you have a power of attorney? And just go through things. And a lot of times people have everything that they need and everything's perfectly fine. And we're like, great. You've got everything that you need. You go about your merry way, right?
Right.
But a lot of times it's not. And here lately I found a lot of powers of attorney that aren't correct either.
I also found a healthcare proxy that wasn't correct this week. He had appointed his wife, then his daughter, and his daughter witnessed it.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
That's good, yeah. You can't witness. Someone that you name in your healthcare proxy cannot be a witness.
They can't be the witness, that's right. And they're like, we're all fine. I'm like, oh, well, no, you're not.
It's like, no, that doesn't work. So you got to make sure that the documents are executed correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've had people that did their own wills and then had their child, you know, they're giving everything to their child and their child is the witness. Guess what? That voids it.
Yeah, that's
right. So your child is getting nothing.
That's right. So that's why you need to see an attorney to kind of figure out some of these things. And especially for the power of attorney form, because that's a 13-page document with different places where you have to initial. It's pretty hard to figure that out on your own.
Had a lot of people that decided to download it themselves. Mm-hmm. And apparently, it's out there someplace. The 2009 form is still out there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they changed the forms in September of 2009, and then in September of 2010, they changed them again. So the current form is the 2010 form, not the 2009 form. So definitely do not use the 2009 form.
I have seen that. Yeah, I had a client that came in and had to use the old form. Right. And that was invalid. And, well, for other reasons, we had to go to guardianship over that case. But
yeah, and you definitely don't want to put yourself in that kind of position.
No, that's right.
So 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900 or 1-800-WROW-590. So it's going to be a busy week. We've got, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Thursday off, and then Friday. It's just kind of a weird...
It's a very bizarre holiday, right? When it's in the middle of the week.
Yeah, and then next year, what next year will it be?
Will it be a Friday?
I don't know. Is it a leap year?
It'll actually be a Saturday.
Oh, it is.
Because 2020 is a leap year.
Oh,
so you get it on Saturday.
On Saturday. All right. Well, that's a little better for the holiday.
Yeah, but then you don't get a 3-day weekend.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
Maybe we'll have to take Monday off.
or Friday.
Or Friday to get ready for the weekend.
Right? Yeah. That's right. Yeah, Friday would be a better day off.
That way you could make it to all the celebrations.
That's true.
And enjoy them.
That's right.
That's true. Good idea, Ben.
Thank you.
He's always thinking, right?
I only come in every once in a while, but sometimes I actually have a good idea.
So I have to start looking at the schedule for next year and see where we're going to plan our holidays. Yeah, it's really odd the way holidays fall as to how you schedule everything, you know? So, again, give us a call. You could be probably our last caller at 518-476-5900, 518-476-5900, or 1-800-WROW-590. So is 4th of July the only one they don't make fall on a Monday? Because Labor Day is, like, always on a Monday, right? Memorial Day is always a Monday.
True. Yeah, all the other major holidays are a Monday.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, Thanksgiving's always on a Thursday.
Because it's the 4th of July, they can't move it.
That's right.
It's got to be the 4th because it's the 4th of July. But
That's right.
I guess the other ones, they can move those around. Columbus Day, they move that around, too.
Yeah, it's they do. That's always moved around, right?
Yeah, but I guess seeing as it's a specific holiday, then I guess they can't do that. It's kind of silly. You answered your own question.
There you go.
Maybe you should have some more coffee before we go on the air in the morning. And we've got John from Rotterdam. Good morning, John.
Good morning, ladies.
How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Good.
Okay. I was at the client appreciation event at Gwen Sanders, and Jane Marie was discussing distributions, stretch IRAs specifically.
Yes.
And under the new rules, what you have included in that, there's a change in the requirement to a 10-year distribution?
Yeah, there is. Now, that's just proposed legislation. It's passed the House, hasn't passed the Senate. You know, there's a similar bill in the Senate. So we think it's likely it may happen, but it's not the law yet.
Only
10 years, right. So if you inherit an IRA, the most you can stretch it out is 10 years, which is a big change.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, the reason they're doing that is the government wants to get that tax money earlier, which is obvious, right?
I can see that.
That's right. They don't want to wait and have it stretched out over a lifetime. They want you to take it out and tax it and then reinvest it.
So they can tax it again.
So they can tax it again. That's right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Sure.
Have a great weekend. You know, we have another one. We have Michelle from Knox. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning.
What can we help you with?
It's a little tiny bit complicated, but not really bad. My mother and father moved to Knox 16 years ago. My father got sick 7 years ago. My husband and myself moved up to take care of my mother and father. My father passed away 2 years ago. My mother now owns the house, the land. There's no mortgage, no liens, nothing on it. My brother and I are the only heirs to her. She does not have a will. She went to a senior services attorney, and they're like, oh, no, you don't need a will. You don't have that much. What am I in for? My mother is not as well as she used to be.
Well, first of all, I have no idea what to do. Yeah. She owns the house and the land, right?
Yes, she does.
So you definitely need a will. you know, to transfer that. And what may be even better than a will is if she does a trust, because then the property would transfer to you and your brother without having to go to probate. And then it would also protect that for her long-term care costs in the future.
Okay, and I thought so, but like I said, she came back from seeing the attorney for the senior service. She's like, oh no, they say I don't have much, so I don't have to have a will. And I'm like, I don't think it works that way. And I figure if she doesn't have a will, we're probably going to have a fun time at probate.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have a ton of money. She doesn't have a ton of bills. So pretty much, you know, what's in the house would cover whatever small bills she has. Mm-hmm. But it was the house, the land, that my brother and I are like, what's going to happen? And
well, the person that she probably spoke to, I mean, what she probably said to them is, they said, well, what have you got for assets? And she said, well, I've got a house and some land and some stuff in the house. And they said, okay, do you have kids? And she said, yeah. And they said, do you have a spouse? And she said, no. And they said, well, it's going to go to your kids anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which it would. You'd have to go through an administration proceeding, and it would end up going to the kids, because what happens without a will, they look and they say, okay, do you have a spouse? No. Do you have children? Yes. And that's where it's going to stop. But so, I mean, the conversation may have gone that way. Why spend the money if it's going to go to your kids anyways? But if you did a trust, then it's going to avoid probate, so that whenever she passes, then the trustee, whomever that is, would just deed the property out to you guys, or put the for sale sign in the yard, or whatever they're going to do, as opposed to having to wait to be appointed. So Knox is right in Albany County, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Albany County is usually pretty good at turning things around in the surrogate court, but you've still got, you know, a waiting period to file an inventory and everything like that. The estate itself has to stay open with the courts for 7 months before you can close anything down. So it'd be so much easier if she just set up a trust, transferred it to the trust, and then whenever she passes, it would automatically go out to you and your brother.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, because we've just been worried, because neither one of us, you know, has a lot of money to be going here, going there, and he has a place to live, he has a home. I live with my parents, so I don't. That's where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were just a little nervous about that, but I will tell her.
Yeah, that's what I would definitely do. It'd just make it so much easier.
Okay. I thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend. You know, they'd also want to make sure that she has beneficiaries on, like, her checking and savings accounts.
Yeah, then you could avoid probate that way, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of different twists and turns that you need to do.
Well, the other thing that stuck out in my mind is that because she's living with her mom, and there is a caregiver exemption.
If she had to go into a nursing home.
If she had to go into a nursing home, she could transfer the house to her daughter who's taking care of her without a penalty.
Right, and it sounded like the land was contiguous, like next right. to the house, so we could also transfer that, too.
That's
so
right.
that wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm. Fancy word this morning.
Ooh, yeah.
Contiguous.
So, yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up now, but the phone number here is 518-476-5900. That's 518-476-5900, or toll-free was 1-800-WROW-590. But we're coming up really close to the end of the hour, so
we could still squeeze in one quick call, or
we might be able to at 518-476-5900.
If it's a quick question.
If it's a quick question, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, that was an excellent question, because a lot of people are going to say that,
right?
You know, these are your kids. Why do a will? It's going to go to your kids anyway.
Right.
But
right.
then you start looking at, okay, well, what if one of your kids passes away before you do?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want their share to go to your grandkids? Mm-hmm. And are your grandkids underage?
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of different planning things that you can do. Or do you just want it to go to the one child? Or,
right.
Or what if you don't want both children to get the same amount? If she's been staying with the parents and taking care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
That was kind of going back to Dave's presentation that we had at the client seminar, fair versus equal, right? If you've got one child that's done all this stuff for you and taking care of you, are you going to give them more?
Right.
So.
Yeah, and that's, you know, a hard decision, but a lot of people do that. You know, one child does step up to caregive, so they probably should get a little bit more.
Or one child kind of gives up their life to move in with the parents. I've had that before.
That's right.
They said, you know, fine, I'm going to take care of mom and dad. I'm not putting them in a nursing home. I'm going to take care of them until they're gone. And so they give everything up. They move in with the parents. And then the other kids are like, well, they're living there for free.
That's right.
They lived in the house for free. So why should they get more?
Right. Or I had a client this week. She felt that she had given her children a lot of help and a lot of money during their lifetime. So she wanted to give her money to the grandkids when she died.
Mm-hmm.
So skipping over the children.
Definitely. Yeah. But if you're going to do that, you got to make sure that you have language in there for a trust. Mm-hmm. Because you don't, you know, two and three-year-olds generally are not good with money. And you can only keep it from them until they're 18.
That's right.
And generally 18-year-olds are even worse with money than two
worse
and three-year-olds.
Worse than two and three-year-olds. Because two and three-year-olds only going to buy a toy.
Yeah. Well, 18-year-olds are going to buy a toy, too. It's just going to be more expensive.
That's right.
So, you know, these are all things that we go over when we do the free consult. So if you guys want to make an appointment to come in, the phone number at the office is 518-465-7581. Again, 518-465-7581.
And you can go on the website to look at the seminars that are coming up in August on aging in place. And you can sign up right on the website, or you can just see when they are and you could call the office to sign up.
Yep. Or you can sign up. You can, there's a info@herzoglaw.com. You can actually email us if
you want
to sign up for the seminar or if you want to schedule an appointment. So there's lots of different ways that you can do it.
That's right. People are very mobile, so they're on the internet a lot.
That's true.
That's right. On their phones, right? Or as they're out and about doing things. Right?
Yes, I'm the worst for that. You guys have a great weekend. Have a great 4th of July, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
For listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.